Okay, so next week we're going to have a Christmas party. And it's going to be at Cliff and Noel Etheridge's house. Bring a tacky sweater if you have one.
I'm all over it. My mom just got some.
Oh.
Number everywhere there.
By
the
door.
Exactly.
Oh.
If I
have to
bring a dessert. Okay.
Just bring a dessert, yeah, if you don't mind. Cliff and Noel's house will be there. We'll just have a good old time. That's it. Christmas party, 6 o'clock, same time.
Where do they live?
It's
near Random Bluff, River Bluff?
River Bluff? River Bluff.
Oh, okay.
You know that SRP with the cars?
Yeah.
Right across the street from
okay.
there. Yeah. So come, please do come. We'll put it in the bulletin, the address and all that other stuff. Be a good time. Again, if you have a sweater even with whites on it, that'd be even better.
I have one that has a bunch of different Santas with different animal prints doing weird things like firemaning and riding a horse.
I have one with a train that goes around. No, I'm just kidding. That would that'd be amazing.
I kind of like, I've seen like a pretty place in your phone.
Mark Humphrey did that, didn't he?
There are little strings of lights that are battery operated. Like, I have one of them that I strung around.
Let's bring it on down and pray, and then we'll get into it. This is a short one, but it's a good one. It's using thankfulness, using the gift of being thankful in your everyday life. It's a biggie. So why don't we pray and we'll get into it. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would move us, change us from the inside out, from one degree of glory to another. Take away distraction if there's distraction, but God, please, in all things, make us more like Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good. Okay, I'm going to start this with, I'm going to change his name. Meet Terry. This is the tale of Terry. I changed his name. This is from a counselor. It really did happen. So there's this guy named Terry. He made a change in his life. He was one of these guys. He was trapped in his sin. There was no getting around it. He couldn't put down his sin, a particular sin. It got him into trouble. He couldn't put it down for an hour. He nearly lost everything. Family, job, everything. This is one of these cases where you'd never think this guy's going to get out of it. But he did. He did. He nearly lost everything. Life had lost all sense of joy for him. He felt numb, but the things seemed to change one day for Terry. He had a growing relationship with Jesus. He felt closer than ever before. He got everything back, job, family. It wasn't easy, but he seemed to have turned a corner. The counselor asked him, how did you do it? How did you do it? How did you do such a turnaround? What made the biggest difference? What changed? Now, a lot of things, he said. A lot of things changed and helped change me. But the biggest tool for fighting sin in my life, and this is from a guy who nearly lost everything, was thankfulness. And I go, what? We might wonder about that. We might be tempted to think like it's just for one little time in the calendar, right? Thanksgiving, where you sit back and count your blessings. And it's more than that. It's more than that. It's very, very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. Okay. Here's Ephesians 5, 3 through 4. But among you there must not be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper to God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talking, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So here's Paul showing us something. He's saying there shouldn't be this, there should be that. Not a whiff of immorality. But what I want you to notice here is that there's a prohibition of something. What's he saying don't have? This is something you shouldn't have in your life. What is it, according to that? How about the word right here, greed? You should not have greed in your life, Christian, is what he's saying. What is greed, really, though? What is greed? Because that should have been one of the things. But what is greed? Because typically we think of it in money terms, like Ebenezer Scrooge. He wants as most as he can to not share and not give any of it away. It's money. That's part of it, but that's not really it. That's not what Paul's talking about in Ephesians. You can be greedy for all kinds of things. You can be greedy for power, for money, for food, for all kinds of things. And guess what he's talking about here, though? It's immorality. All right? It's not really a behavioral thing. It's a heart thing. And what is greed? Anybody want to take a guess at what greed really is?
Being bad.
Very good, Thomas. It is being bad. Anybody else? What is it?
Coveting.
Very good. It's a craving. Like, I've got to have that thing. I've got to have it so bad. So bad. Don't get the passage wrong here. This is a replacement thing. Paul is saying to a bunch of believers who are still lusting after something, he says, replace that with thankfulness. He could have said, replace it with mercy, replace it with love. He doesn't. He says, replace it with thankfulness. Terry, from the earlier story, found the biggest key to defeating sin in his life was replacing a huge desire for sin with gratitude. We've already said a few things about it, but this is greed. Every time you blow it, every time you sin, internally, externally, however, every time you mess up, it's a greed issue. Because there's something you wanted and you felt like you weren't getting, so you had to act out. Every time you sin, it has to do with greed. A greedy heart is the result or the root of every single sin. You want an example? How about this one from time to time? Let me show you an example. Angry face. There it is. How about that one person you really aren't a big fan of? How about that one person who really gets you? Now, everybody usually has that one person in their life. That one person who really kind of, they get you in that mood. They get on your nerves. Let's park right here and talk about that one person who really gets you mad. And they have this knack for making you mad every day. It's really easy to daydream about the day when that person gets found out. When they finally get theirs, right? It's easy to daydream of a time where the whole world discovers just how rotten of a person that is. And you get to stand beside them like the velvet background. Like, that's not me. That's them. Whenever you have those moments, I'm just being real. I mean, we all have them. You are greedy for something. You might call it greed, but it's a desire to have the other person's flaws put out to the world. You're really wanting that right now. So there's other ways. All sin can be chalked up to greed. We want something that will put us in the best light, show us in the best light somehow. Maybe you never thought of it like the greed thing, but that's exactly it. You really want this. You really want it bad. In a weird way, greed is tied to every single sin. So here's how it works out for worrying. If you are a worrier, you really strongly want control. You covet. You're greedy for control. It's something you don't have. And how it works out in your life is worry. That's how that works out. But the root of that is you really want control. And you don't have it. So somehow worrying helps with that. I don't know why we're wired like that. It's really strange. But pick a thing and you could trace it back to deeply desiring something you don't have. You don't have. Think of all the times you've gotten into a fight. Not necessarily a punching thing, but just a fight. How about all those times? You really wanted that person to see things the way you wanted to see it. And I'm thinking here, particularly after an election and social media equals uh-oh. Facebook and an election equals uh-oh. Because that's what happened. Everybody was like, you got to see it my way. And then the other side was like, no, you've got to see it my way. And there's this deep desire for the other person to see this. Look, I have knowledge that you don't. You need to get on board. Both sides are doing that. And that's where it got really, really crazy. Call that knowledge greed or whatever. But this causes people to act out in harmful ways. It really does. So greed wants something it does not have. So here's how this works out. Greed always wants something it does not have. Greedy desire perverts a good desire in two ways, degree and direction. Like degree, we want it really, really bad in direction. It's usually something we shouldn't be wanting in the first place. That's how this works out. So thankfulness. Thankfulness is a little different. It works the other way. It's being grateful and content with what is there. A thankful heart has stopped prowling around looking for something to fill it. And that's where this whole thing comes down to you and me right now. A thankful heart does not prowl around looking for something to get it, do its fix, whatever you want to call it. It's overwhelmed with the good things it has. So it works like this. Greed says, look at what you have and be discontent with it and long for something you don't have. Thankfulness says this, be content with what you have so that you're not looking elsewhere. It's the way it works out. Again, I'll say that one more time. It bears repeating. Greed says this, look at what you do have and be discontent with it and then long for something you don't have. Thankfulness says, be content with what you have, and that, therefore, you won't be looking somewhere else. So how does this work out? Let me give you a good example of how this worked out for me in the 1800s. Thankfulness focuses the mind on what it currently has. Greed focuses the mind on what it does not have. And that's the biggie. That's the huge, huge biggie. This is a tool for your toolbox to help you. Thankfulness focuses the mind on what it currently has. Greed focuses the mind on what it does not have. Huge, huge, huge tool for you to use. Okay, here's how this... Look at that. Look at that Chewbacca doll. That's how you look like Chewbacca. And so in the 80s...
The teddy bear ones.
That's from the 80s.
Yeah,
Ewok. Well, I think they're going for Chewbacca, but it's the 80s. And kids like me would be like, yeah, it looks like them. Technology hadn't progressed to where they were good toys. Here's how this worked out. Every Christmas, I don't know if it still, probably doesn't work out like this anymore. Mara remembers this. Here's what would happen. Thanksgiving, just the week before, you check your mailbox, and there'd be this catalog, page after page after page of just stuff, Sears, Target, whatever. And you'd take your time as a little kid and flip through it, and you go, man, circle that. And like conveniently leave it with mom and dad. Well, look what I found. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what happens to a little kid heart when they're doing that? Automatically, you can't help it but be like, well, the stuff I have is kind of lame. Because this is way better. And that's, what I have isn't good enough. That's way better. And that's sort of where you were for the whole month of December as a kid. Well, let me just call that out as greed. After Christmas, it wasn't Transformers. It was like changeable robotics or something like that. But yeah. So that's how that worked out. But that's how that worked out. It's greed. But how in the world do you balance that? Like, how do you balance that between honestly wanting something for Christmas and not becoming greedy? I really don't know. So I'm not too sure about that. But I do know that this model for me as a kid did not work. That created a greedy heart, or exposed a greedy heart. It did nothing but go, you know, what I have is really, really lame. That's way better. So learning to be thankful. How do we learn to do it? Well, here's how we learn to do it. Those times when we find ourselves a slave to a certain sin, like we keep going back to it and we wonder why. It could be anything. It could be something really, really bad. It could be something in your head, like you judge people or something like that. Those times where you go back to that and back to that and say, you'll never do it again, never do it again, but you do. Those times, I can guarantee right there, I can guarantee in that moment, you are thankless. Let me say that one more time. For those people like me, who go back to the same sins and go, what is my problem? In those moments where we give in, we are thankless. We're not thankful. Particularly with interpersonal stuff, with relationships. When you have those times when you lose it with somebody, it's not a thankful heart that does that. Here's my most recent thing. For the drivers in here, you kind of know what I'm talking about. I've noticed something in my sinful heart where I'm behind somebody and the light turns from green to red, and they might be looking at their phone or something. And, you're like, burp. Well, that time of the honk has gotten shorter and shorter for me. Like, this is just a split second. Hey, go! In that moment, I'm just saying I'm thankless. I'm not really thinking about the other person. I'm not really thinking now, if it's like 5 minutes, of course, honk. But I'm just saying, I've noticed something that I'm impatient here. I'm like, go. I'm thankless. Because it's cold outside, and I'm not thinking about, oh, thank you, Lord, for a warm car to be in. I'm not thinking about, oh, you know what? I didn't run over a nail today. I have four tires that are really good. You know what? This thing's running. I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking, go. Don't you know my schedule? I'm a busy, important guy. You know, it's sad to say, but that's what I'm thinking. So sin is trading gratitude for greed. And the logic of sin requires that you not be happy with how things are currently. Otherwise, your heart wouldn't go looking. So here it is. Joyful people don't get into sin. I'll say it one more time. Joyful people do not get into sin. Discontent people get into sin. Discontent people get into sin. My argument is this. Thankfulness better be a part of your everyday life if you want to live a life pleasing to God. Thankfulness better be a part of your everyday life if you want to be pleasing to God. Thankfulness is a weapon to have in your toolbox to use next time you're tempted. And it helps you kill sin when it pops up. That's freedom. Total freedom. Gratitude. The contentment in your soul will act as a great stop sign when you're looking for something to fill it. Sinfully. Contentment will go, look what you have. Look what you have. So, consider all the things you have. That is your weapon right there. Consider all the things you have. That's how you become a thankful person. It could be precious friends, it could be family, it could be good church, it could be whatever. But consider all the things that are yours. And then you look, consider Christ. Consider Christ. Anybody know where Paul wrote the book of Philippians from?
Jail.
Yes! Did you know back then jail kind of ran differently? Like here, you get like really, you get three meals, right? And it's all paid for. There's a TV there. And you can even work out. It's like a rec area. Although, don't go there. But back then, you're at the mercy of other people. They provide you with nothing. So you're just thrown in this thing, and you had to somehow contact people. So Paul's there. He's thrown in jail because he's been preaching the gospel. And you'll notice he ends some of his epistles like, hey, bring me my books. Well, that's what he's talking about. He's a prisoner. And so look at what he writes in Philippians. Here's what he writes. He writes this from a prison cell. For this cell. He says this. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there's anything excellence, anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. These things you've learned and received and heard from me. Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Where was Paul's mind during this? Was it on getting freedom? Not really. Was it on the next meal? That would have been nice, but it wasn't. Not really. It was on the only thing that was good, noble. What do you think that is? Is your VBS answer time? Jesus! God! Yeah, either one would have worked. That's what he did it. And really, Paul's assuming he knows what you're talking about. So, here's the deal with sin. Every time you give in, it brings a short-lived joy replaced by a deeper desire for more soon, right after. So the pleasure from that sin, and when you first commit that sin, is pretty big. But then right afterwards, there's this desire to commit sin that will bring greater pleasure. And then as you go, it's like the sin cycle. The pleasure gets less and less and less and less, and you're on this search constantly to find something better, better, better. You could call that addiction if you want. So the guy we started with, Terry, he had a couple options before him. He could really use the elbow grease and say, I'll never do that sin again. That wouldn't have worked. He's working on his own power. He could have done a lot of things. He could have used accountability. That would have worked maybe. And I think that's where most of us kind of stay with our sin patterns. We're right there. But here's what Terry did. Here's what he did. He looked at what he had. And he said to his own heart, why are you craving something that's not as good as what you have right now? Why are you craving after that? All the other attempts to stop were joyless, graceless attempts by his own effort. Every time you give in to sin, let's use judgmentalism as one, like it feels good to feel superior next to someone. Let's just use that one. Every time you give in to judging someone in your thoughts, you've made a decision that you would rather judge than not judge. That judging brings us pleasure. Well, the next time you're going to have to do it again and again and again and again. That's how it does. Sin robs you of joy eventually. Robs you completely of joy. Greed takes over and you're then looking for the next thing after that. So, Here's how we'll close it. Last thing. Terry turned a corner when he realized that what he had was better than what he was looking for. What he had was better than what he was lusting after, whatever it was. Gratitude led to gladness, which then turned into joy. Perhaps you are longing for the joy that accompanies this gratitude, and you want to be done with despair. But as you look in your life, you don't see much to be grateful for. You may be thinking about all sorts of frustrating realities in your life right now, which make it kind of hard to be really grateful. But let's just remember 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. It is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. That's what the verse says. This verse teaches that because God is always being kind to you, it is always essential to be grateful. It is the will of God for you to be full of gratitude regardless of situation. What I want to close with is this. Make sure you're not a victim of the consumer culture that says, be discontent and get more. Like, I don't know if you watched much TV, but I found this. Like, I stayed at some people's house. I'm related to them. They're good folks. But I'm just not used to the TV being on quite that much. And like commercial after commercial after commercial. And you know what it does? It drives home this message, this consumer message, that what you have, it's not that good. You need this. And those people who do advertisements, they're pros at it. They know what they're doing. They know the hook to use to get you to purchase more. And how they do that? They make you discontent with what you have. Like, what you have is kind of lame. You need this. Apple does it every September. That 7, you want one with a better camera, right? One more pixel. That's what you need. And then the people flock to get it because it has one change in it. And they're like, oh, you have the 7? You need that 8. Well, that's a consumerist culture. So, what is that?
It's like,
yeah, well, okay, that's a little different. Waterproof is better.
I would have given you a fan if it's waterproof.
It is, isn't it? Can
we choose a new one?
It's water resistant.
Resistant. Come on, Apple.
If you spill something on it, you might be fine, but don't go swimming in it.
Yeah. It's good. Yeah. All right, so a couple things to think through before we break it on down. Christ said that he came to make our joy complete. Maybe you're in here saying to yourself, I'm not so sure my faith even works like that. I'm not so sure that that's where I am right now. Okay, here's what I bet was going on in your life. The culture you find yourself in is one that encourages you to look around and be discontent with what you have. It encourages you to do that. And that all starts this whole greed sin cycle. So if you're discontent, you're going to go looking. The message that they continue to get across goes like this. Be more popular. Have nicer things. Have more things. Every day you will have a battle of contentment. It's your own battle. You have to fight it every day. So when you long for people's approval, that really means Christ's love isn't enough. When you look around and long for what the next person has, that really means God's provision isn't good enough. So, see how that works? Thankfulness can be your greatest weapon in this whole thing. Your greatest weapon. Obviously, what needs to happen is you need to center on Christ and what he did for you. Take your sin, right? Takes it into himself and dies on the cross. And in God's eyes, you died. Why? Because you were in Christ being crucified. And then God the Father can look at you as if you'd never sinned and treat you as if you'd never sinned. That's a biggie. So that kind of puts a different spiel on things. Why do we still run to sin when that's our reality? Good question. Well, let's break it down, talk about it for a little bit. And, honestly, this is like one of the only times I can remember. We don't have snacks. I'm sorry. I know! Well, there are some Tootsie Rolls. So, yeah. It is better than nothing.
We're ready for those ice cream.
That's right. This is all a test. See if you'd be greedy. So why don't we pray? We'll get into it. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for what we...